You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 16. I taught along these lines Wednesday night. I'm going further with it tonight. I'm not going to review it. I've just got two verses I want to start out with. I start out with this verse Wednesday night. I'm not going to go through all the other verses, because I know you're thinking, well, this is one of his reviews. My reviews will last about an hour, you know. And then we get into the message, you know. But no, it won't be that long tonight. I just actually want to start this out because I've got this still burning in me. Actually, I had another message totally different. I've been studying yesterday and had it on my heart today. Went over some notes. And this afternoon, I was thinking, oh, yeah, that's great. That was in me. And then I took a shower and got ready for church this afternoon, and then I got another message. So we're going to go with that. Amen. But it connects. It still part ties in with this. We went over and started with John 16, verse 33, where Jesus was speaking to his disciples before he was betrayed in the garden. These are very intimate chapters, 14, 15, 16th chapter of John, where he was talking to the 11 disciples. In the 13th chapter, Judas went and betrayed him. And so we have some of his last teaching to the disciples before his resurrection. In the 17th chapter, he's talking, it's a prayer talking to God, the Father. So there's some tremendous truth in here. It's just dynamic teaching on faith and using the name of Jesus and prayer and the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. But he ends up that conversation or that sermon or that discourse with his disciples with this last verse of the 16th chapter, because the 17th chapter goes into praying to God and talking to the Father. And he ends up by saying this: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. And we taught on that word overcome and went in great detail on it Wednesday night. In the Greek, it's nikao, and it means to prevail, to conquer, subdue, to overcome. And that's what he did, and that's what we do. In fact, he goes on to tell us in Revelation 3:21, which we went to that Wednesday night, that to him that overcometh, he was speaking to the church at Laodicea. You know, he spoke to the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And to each church he told them, "To him that overcometh will I," and he gave a promise to each church from Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia. Laodicea was the last church that he talked to in the third chapter of Revelation, and they were really in sin. This was a church that was backslidden. He really stood at the door, actually. It says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, I will come in." We use that concerning salvation. That's a good verse. It's true in that sense that Jesus is outside and waiting to get in people's heart. But he was telling a church that. That's what was so wow. I mean, Jesus wasn't even in that church. That's a bad state for a church to be in. But he still told them that if they overcome, the 21st verse, that third chapter, he said, "To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sit down in the throne of his Father." But the point I wanted to bring out and that I tied together the other night, and I'd like to repeat tonight, is that we overcome as he overcame. To him that overcometh, even as I also overcame. To him that overcometh, even as I also overcame. And all you have to do is casually go through Jesus' trials, his tests, his temptations, his challenges, his battles, and you will find that Jesus always spoke the word. You know, everyone knows, if you've been in church any time at all, that when the devil came to him, the tempter came and tested him. In Matthew 4, three times he came to Jesus, and three times Jesus said, "It is written." So obviously the insight we get from that, very simply, is that we overcome by the word. We overcome by speaking the words, quoting the scripture, seemingly insignificant, powerless sometimes, in the midst of the trial where the bullets are flying, and it doesn't, just quoting it, just believing God, just standing on the word. Yes, standing on the word is the greatest weapon you can use. But you have to know what it is. You have to know where it is. And you have to know what the Bible says about your situation. That's why you have to study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to do the work and not be ashamed in the work, see, you're ashamed in the work when you can't do the work. You're ashamed on a job when you can't do what you said you could do. Studying the word will get you equipped to do the work, and you won't be ashamed when the work comes to do. And when the battle comes, you'll win. Amen? By the word. But what I saw and what I'm going to minister on tonight is that life is a battle. You know, we can be real nonchalant about it. We can be lethargic about it or apathetic, to use some other big words. Or just so lazy and don't care. Let's say it that way. But the fact remains, life is a battle. That's not bad news. That's good news, because we win this thing.
Yeah.
Amen? That's not doom, gloom, and destruction. It's a sobering thing, and we ought to be sober. We shouldn't be afraid. In fact, the Bible doesn't say be afraid of the devil. It just says be sober, be aware of the devil.
Right.
Be sober, be vigilant. You know, so we ought to know that there's an enemy. And to go through life and think that we could just float through life, or it doesn't really matter what we do, it doesn't really matter what we say, or it doesn't matter how we live, is not the biblical account of life. It's not what God says about life. It's not how Jesus lived his life. Notice how Jesus said this in John 16:33. He says, in the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Everyone said overcome. Okay, now think about this. What he meant by that is, I have won the battle. But he was telling us that life had been a battle for him, like it is for everybody. Life had been a challenge to him. Life had been one struggle after another, as it were. But be of good cheer. I win this deal, and since I win, you win too.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people think of life just one struggle after another. Actually, really, life for us as Christians is one victory after another. But make no mistake about it, as long as you live down here, you are in foreign territory to some degree. I mean, I know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but there is an enemy down here that we don't have in heaven. And the struggle is over when you leave this earth. Amen? No question about that. And Canaan land, everybody talks about the Christian walk and Canaan land. Christian walk is Canaan land, not heaven. Heaven's not Canaan land. There's no cities to take up there, no battles to win up there. There's no giants that oppose us up there. The battles are down here. The giants are down here. But so are the victories. Hallelujah. And so we have to understand the concept. As a Christian, as a believer, it's not just a matter of, you know, you believe this, I believe this, somebody believes that, somebody else believes that. No, we'll never be successful in life and be useful to God and never really understand what life's about till we understand it is a battle. There is a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your wife, for your children, for your husband, for your family, your job, your church. And we have to pray and believe and make stands. Every day we're making stands. Stands against sin. Stands against temptation. Hello? And we have to keep our guard up. Now, that's good news, because you keep your guard up and you're aware of what's going on and you know what the Word says, you can be of good cheer.
Amen.
I mean, in the same breath when Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, he said, be of good cheer.
Yeah. Right.
And the reason being, I've overcome the world.
Right.
That's good. And he said, I did it. I've done it. I've won it. And that's the last thing he told him. Think about that. Before he went into that prayer, before he went into Gethsemane, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was abducted, before he was killed and crucified, before he rose again. This is what he left us with. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Well, you and I, since we are born again now and accepted Jesus, can be of good cheer. But by the same token, we're not saying we're ignorant of the fact that life's a battle. We know life's a battle. Jesus also said in the world you would have tribulation. We know that. We understand that. So we're always on our guard, and we're always sober and vigilant, and we're watching. And we're getting the Word, and we're getting faithful to God, and we're digging in the Word, and we're dedicating ourselves to God, and we're passionate about Him and His cause, the cause of Christ. Why? Because life's a battle. And we can't let our guard down. Hello. But we win. Good news is we win. Notice what Paul said in 2 Timothy. He was a real close friend of 1 Timothy. Actually, they cloned back then. First one was cloned to 2 Timothy. They had three Johns. But anyway, okay, 2 Timothy. Notice what Paul says here. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Man, that whole chapter is so good. I gotta stay focused. The sixth verse. Paul is getting ready to go on. That's what he's telling Timothy. He said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I believe that was Paul's choosing. I don't think everybody has an appointed time to die. The Bible says it's appointed man once to die, and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 is where that is. And nowhere in the Scriptures does say God has a certain death date for you. But Paul evidently felt like he was ready to go on. He made the choice himself, and he decided to go on. And he says, my time of departure is at hand. He made that choice. Hello. And the Scripture's filled with promises concerning that. Incidentally, I'm not teaching on that. But then he goes on and says this. He says, my time of departure is at hand. Seventh verse, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now notice this. He's talking about his life. And how does he sum it up? I fought the good fight. Isn't that good? See, Jesus said, I've overcome. Jesus understood life's a battle. But we overcome this battle of life. Paul understood life's a fight. But you know what? When he got ready to go, he said, I fought a good fight. Amen. He fought a good fight. You can fight a good fight. In fact, we are fighting a fight here. Yeah. We don't fight each other. Our fight's not with each other. Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world. We know we have an enemy. Our enemy is not your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law. Hello. Our enemy is the devil. Amen. And in one sense, that's good news because, well, Jesus got the victory over the devil, and so do we. Amen. Amen. But you have to be aware of it. You know, my daddy used to teach me when you know, I was growing up. We had when daddy retired from the Army, we moved back to Center. I was born in Center, and we subsequently moved back to Center after dad retired from the Army. And he had some land that was in the family, you know, way out in the middle of the woods, 4 miles down a dirt road. He still lives down there. And so when he retired, he wanted to start farming again because that's how he was raised. He was raised on a farm out in the middle of the country. And so we got some cows, you know. Back then you'd go to the dairy and you'd get these cows for about $3 or $4, you know, little calves. And you could raise a herd that way. Of course, you'd had to bottle feed them. And then you had to let them get up to a certain height and buy you a bull. And before long, you could have a herd. If you're real patient, you know, over the few years, you'd get a herd. And we'd get those Holstein calves, and then we get a Brema bull. Now, the reason you get Brema bull, because Brema and Holstein mix, they'll eat anything. And they'll eat the bark of a pine tree. And there's a lot of pine trees around East Texas. And they're a real hardy breed and so on and so forth. But Brema bulls can be contrary. You know, you may call them Brahman. I call them Brema. I'm from East Texas. But Dad never taught me to be afraid of those big bulls out there in the field. Never. One time, I never heard him tell me that. But what he would always tell me was, you got to respect that bull. He said, you have to respect him. He said, you don't get out in the middle of the pasture with that bull. You keep a fence along where you can get to and jump over, or a tree you can climb. He said, even the friendly ones, they're the dangerous ones, the friendly ones, because they'll get to playing with you and just, you know, knock you over and run you down. Playing, you know. So he didn't put fear in me. And I thought, and looking back, it's so significant and that's so important even in raising children. You don't want to put fear in children. And God does not put fear in us concerning the devil even. He tells us to respect him in the sense of be aware of who he is and what his powers are and what he does. And from the word, you find out all kinds of things about the devil. He's a deceiver. So he plays on lies. Are you with me? And if you get the truth and you know the truth will make you free. But you've got to be aware, though. You can't just get lackadaisical nonchalant, start walking out in the middle of that pasture with that bull out there. Hello? No more than you as a Christian can say, well, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, you know, and just kind of get out of church and get out of the Word and get out of the praying, get out of the Bible and let your guard down. There is a devil out there. And at the end of our life, we've got to be able to say we fought a good fight. Amen? And if we fight a good fight, we're going to win this deal. Ooh, hallelujah. Notice what Paul told Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. So grace is a real thing, a tangible thing. It operates in our life. And you can be weak in it, or you can be strong in it. And that's what he's saying. He says, so be strong in the grace. Strong in the grace of the Lord. In other words, use it to your benefit. Use it to help. Use it to bless. Don't use it to sin. Use it to live holy. Don't use it to give in. I mean, that kind of cop-out thinking is not what the Bible teaches. Just live any way you want to, grace will cover you. You know, and that gets spread around in some churches because we get on a tangent and take something to the extreme. Almost anything to the extreme is going to get off if you don't put it in the context of the Scripture. You can take any one thing in here and go too far with it because you take it out of the context, you take it out of its setting. It was never meant to be out of that setting. That's like working out one leg. Hello. I mean, working on it. I mean, work on it and work on it. Just keep working on that one leg. For long, this thing will just, this other leg will just go into atrophy, and you'll just be hopping along, you know. Boy, you'd have a strong leg, but you missed the point. You took it out of its setting. It's one of two legs attached to the rest of the body. You know, a little joke about guys that go in the gym. They've got two things in mind. There's two muscles they really want to work out when they go in the gym. Right arm, left arm. Hello. And you see a lot of guys like it. They're all just built up like this. They got these little big legs, you know. Hello. Well, I mean, that's to the extreme. I mean, that's imbalanced. That's so, but it's the truth. You know what I'm talking about. We can do it with the word. We can just take one doctrine and just stay on that one doctrine and never, and don't put it in its setting. You have to put it in a setting. Okay. Grace has a setting. It's, you know, God is holy. God is love. You know, some people say, well, God says, the Bible says a lot of things about God, but God is love. Well, the Bible says God is holy also. It doesn't say he has holiness. It says he is holy. Okay. God is love. God is holy. God is a lot of things. And all of that is God. Not one of those is God. Not one of those is God. All of those is God. You can't separate love from all the rest of God. Okay. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I love that scripture. That's great in leadership. It's great in a church situation or church setting. You don't just you don't just award talents and gifts in a church. You award faithfulness in a church. Hello. A lot of people come to a church, and the first thing they want to do is just get in a position. I've heard people just come in. I've talked to people coming. They want to join the church, and the first thing they want to do is teach a class or do something. I say, whoa, wait, whoa, slow down. Come to church. Catch our vision. Let's see some faithfulness, and then, you know, we'll talk about it. Or they'll come. They want to play in the orchestra or the band, whatever, you know. And, you know, we have a rule that you just have to come a few months. I mean, you come, and we'll see how faithful you are, and we'll see if you believe what we believe. Oh, I believe exactly like you believe. How do you know that? You've been 2 weeks. You don't know what we believe. Sometimes I teach for 2 weeks on one thing. Getting quiet in here. But people that minister are people that teach, and Paul's saying this very plainly, they ought to be first faithful men. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that's kind of a requirement. Faithfulness will give you an ability to do other things. I love that. That's good. Commitment, see? Ooh, hallelujah. Third verse. You therefore must endure hardness or hardship, he says here in New King James. Hardness in King James. Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Everybody say good soldier. What does that tell us? Battle, war, army, soldier. Amen? And he says endure hardness. Did you know life's got rough edges? This is not a anti-faith message. I'm faith, man. I believe in word. I believe in standing on the word. But I believe in standing on the word because there is an enemy out there. I believe in standing on the word because there is opposition. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus saying at the end of his life, on this earth, before he died and rose again, I won. And Jesus did win. He won over every temptation. He won over every trial. He won over every test that came his way. Every challenge that he faced. Every battle that he entered into, Jesus won. Hallelujah. And he set an example for us to follow. Yes, he died for our sins. Yes, we needed a Savior. We didn't just need an example, a teacher, and a guide. We needed something more than that. He's not a Buddha or a Moses or a Muhammad. He's not a Jeremiah. He's more than that. He's a Savior that saved us from our sins. But also, beyond that, after he saved us, he still gave us an example to follow after we're saved. And he lived a life we can follow. And what he tells us is that life's a battle, and we can win the battle. We can win the challenge. Don't just, you know, get up in the morning and think that all the battles are going to be over and gone. As long as you're here, there's always battles. Don't be deceived by disaster or failure. Don't be deceived by triumph either. Just because you win doesn't mean it's over. You're going to win and have to win another one.
That's right.
Hello. Just because you got through this thing and you got your prayers answered and believed God and God did a miracle, well, it doesn't mean you're not going to need another one. And it sure doesn't mean God's not going to do it again. God will do it again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. You know, you may have had a tragedy in your life. I don't know, a disaster in your life. Life's full of that. Don't be fooled by that. That's a passing thing. We win. Amen. Whew. Don't put a lot of stock in one or the other in this sense. Just put stock in the Word. We'll always have challenges. We're always going to win them. We're going to endure hardness as a good soldier. Fourth verse says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Don't get so wrapped up in the world. I believe in fellowship, believe in having fun. We have fellowships in our church, and I think that's great. There's no question fellowship is necessary and fun's necessary. I mean, we play games and volleyball and have all kinds. We have young adult fellowship coming up. We have youth night. From time to time, activities that we as a church get together. I think that's great. That's wonderful. But we're under no delusion concerning that. We know life's serious. We know you have problems to face and opportunities in your life that you've got to win and believe God for. Are you with me?
Amen.
So we're not saying we never have fun, we never fellowship, no. But we don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. I don't get entangled in it. My philosophy doesn't come from the fun. My philosophy comes from the Word, what I know to be true. Are you with me? My way of living, my ethos, as it were. Just throw some big words out there. The way I look at life, the way I see life, my concept of life is formed by God's Word. You know, what's my philosophy? God's Word. What's my manner of living, my path of living, my ethos, you know, my, the Word. This is the yin and the yang. Okay. Actually, it's the good. Yin and yang is good and bad, but this is all good. It's all good. Amen? Okay. Y'all still with me? I ain't lost you, Abba. Okay. Okay. He says, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier. Everybody say, good soldier.
Good soldier.
Now, make no mistake about you're a soldier. You may not be a good one, but you are one. Are you with me? Every one of us are soldiers, okay? You may not understand that. You may be a slacker. But you are a soldier. Now, God doesn't want us to be a slacker. He doesn't want us to be a bad one. He wants us to be a good one.
Amen.
Amen. You can't check out the battles of life. They're there. You're in life. There's no way. The only way. It's when you leave here the battle's over. R.I.P. That's what they put on the tubes. Rest in peace, you know. But what they meant by that, the battle's over. The battle's here. So is the victory. The victories come one by one, little by little. You know, hallelujah. You know, that was the problem with you know, when we came in as the West came in and took over the United States, and of course there's a lot of atrocities committed against the Indian tribes and so on and so forth. I've got some Indian in me. I got some Cherokee in me. Didn't know that, did you? Okay. But I'm not here trying to make a political statement with this. I'm fixing to make. The problem, I woke you up, didn't I? The problem with the Indian wars was real simple. They didn't have a concept of a war, really. They didn't understand war as the British that came, the Irish that came in, came over. Are you with me? I mean, we understood war. Battles were part of it. Battles were minor. We went from one to the other. We had strategically went from this place, that place, that place. But it was the war that we were talking about, the war that we were thinking of. Indians didn't have that concept. They would come and have a little battle, and they'd go out and get drunk. A lot of them did. I mean, not all of them. And this is not an indictment on all the Indians. This is not something politically incorrect. I'm just talking history here. So I'm for the Indians. I'm for everybody. Are you with me? Don't twist that. Come on. But history tells us that. And they weren't good at organizing and getting all their tribes together. They had so many different tribes, they never could really get together. Every once in a while they would, and they'd get a big slaughter. They'd slaughter a bunch of white people, and it'd be all over, and they'd go back home, their teepees, whatever, and have a big time. See, they didn't realize it was a constant battle. Hello? And the British who became Americans, and the Irish that became Americans, and people from all over the West that became Americans, they just kept going. They kept pushing. They never stopped. They kept going, kept pushing. Now, that's not to exalt one race above another. That's not to exalt one genre of people or ethnicity above another. I'm just talking about what one was the concept that one people had of war, as opposed to another people just had a concept of one battle. A lot of times we're that way as Christians. We get saved. I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glad you're saved. Thank God. That is the greatest thing that can happen. But see, the battle's still going on. There's still a war going on. It's not about just getting saved and then not ever maturing or enduring hardness or growing as a soldier or finding out what the Word says. What will happen is you'll be just as defeated as the guy out there who doesn't know Jesus. And you'll start thinking, well, what's the difference between me and them? Well, actually, not a whole lot. There is some difference. You are going to heaven. Thank God you're not going to hell. But see, you hadn't developed in trusting God. Are you with me? I'm not talking to you in particular. I'm just saying this in general. If I sound a little hard here, you know, just, you got to love me. Amen? I'm not trying to do that. Because, you know, when I let my guard down, I lose. And you let your guard down, you lose. And you can be a Christian, a believer in Jesus. But because we're not fighting this battle like we should, this war really is going on. We begin to lose by default most of the time. We're not entering the fray. We got to get into the battle here. We got to get serious about this. You know, it's proactiveness that gets the job done. It's taking a city. It's jumping out there. A lot of things we've done, like Hallelujah Night and getting a television channel and building a building when we really didn't have enough to build the whole building. We started, poured a slab, put the metal up. Now we're doing the plumbing. We're pushing. You know what happens when we get all that done? We'll do something else. Yes. We'll fill that up and we'll do something else. You don't stop because there's more people need to be saved. There's more people need to be reached. My goodness, we're just having kids, having babies. It's increasing the church. Hello. There's better ways to increase the church, but we'll take them anywhere we can get them. So it says here, endure hardness as a good soldier. Battle, fight, war. See, that's us. We're in this thing. And we've got to be careful not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. Now, we're in this life, I understand that, but we're not of this life. And sure, we have fun, enjoy fellowship. I enjoy fellowship. But, you know, we're working toward a goal here. My goodness, we want to make an impact for God. I don't believe I've done everything I can do for Jesus. I don't believe I've reached everybody I can reach. I don't believe our church has done everything it can do. I just don't believe that. I will never believe that. If there's breath left, there's something else we can do. Amen? We can always take it to another level. We can always do more. There's a battle going on. We overcome. Hallelujah. We want to fight a good fight. Amen? Be a good soldier, endure hardness. In fact, notice this, Isaiah 41, along those same lines, when he says endure hardness as a good soldier. Isaiah 41. Notice what God says here. Isaiah speaking by the Holy Ghost, 10th verse, fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The J.B. Rotherham translation, I know you got one of those on hand, says, I have emboldened thee, yea, I have helped thee, I have upheld thee with my righteous right hand. I love that. He's emboldened us. He has helped us. He's upheld us with his righteous right hand. You know what the Amplified Bible says here? It says, I will harden you to difficulties. Where it says, I will strengthen you. I love that. That word harden and the word strengthen there, which Amplified translates as harden, is the same word translated courageous. In Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9, it's repeated three times. Be of good courage. You know, be of good courage. Be of good courage. That's that same word. It says strengthen here. Same word, harden and amplified. And I love that. God wants to harden us not to needs in people's lives. He doesn't want us to harden us to people. Now, you don't understand what that means. That's real simple. A hard man is someone that is unmoved, untouched, and unaffected by the pain of someone or by the need of someone. They can walk by someone's in poverty or a little child that's crying or hurting, and a hard man's unaffected by that. And we often say that, oh, that's a hard man. That's a hard man. Doesn't take care of his family, you know, doesn't care about anybody, doesn't care. That's not what God's saying, that we should be hard to. He wants to harden us to difficulty. Which means that we're unaffected by difficulty. We're unmoved by difficulty. We're good soldiers. We endure hardness as a good soldier. Let the devil roar. Let him throw his best shot. We've heard the wind blow before. Let the rain come. Let the wind blow. Let the waves beat. When it's all said and done, we're still standing because we're standing on the Word. We're unaffected by anything the devil does. We're not moved by evil reports. Our heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112 says that about a righteous man. We're unmoved by that. The economy, doesn't matter what the economy does. Did you hear this? Doesn't matter what we heard somewhere else. All that matters is what God says. Nothing moves us. That's what Paul said. And all these things, I am not moved. Nothing moves me. Now that takes time. I mean, you have to get hardened to certain things. You take a battle-hardened warrior, his knees don't shake in the battle. But that didn't come cheap. That's from fighting a lot of fights. That's from getting in a lot of battles. And you know what? The more battles you get into, the more prayers you pray, the more miracles you have, the more you petition God, the more you resist temptation, the more battle-hardened you'll become. You will become hardened to difficulties. And you need to face it. We're in a battle. That happens. Oh, maybe the initial report might shake you, but you'll catch yourself. You're not afraid of sudden fear when it comes. You'll feel it, but it'll pass. You'll catch yourself. Amen? And that's what you have to do. You have to catch yourself and stand on the Word. Amen? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will harden you to difficulties. I like that. You know, Winston Churchill said, a pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. He said, an optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. He was one of the greatest prime ministers Great Britain ever had. And a man that God raised up during World War II to combat Hitler. Thank God for heroes like that God raised up. But if you study his life, he was so focused. He was a warrior. But I love that. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. You come up with anything, some people are always going to say, oh, we can't do that. What about this and what about that? That's a pessimist. And then some people, no matter what happens, they're just going to be optimistic. They're going to believe God. They're going to stand on the Word. And they say, well, look, I think there's a way we can do this. They see opportunity in every difficulty. I love that. I think that's what we got to be. As Christians, believers, it doesn't matter how difficult, how tragic the situation may be. We see opportunity here. We're not going to give in to this. Even some of the disasters that's taken place, we still start looking for some way to come out ahead, turn it around, to bring good out of evil. God did not do it, but God can sure bring good out of it. Amen. He can turn around what the devil's done. Like in Joseph's life. You know what Joseph said to his brothers? This is amazing. They came to him, finally reveals himself to them after he's the right-hand man of Pharaoh, after the second year of famine. They come in to get corn, to buy corn, because they're about to die. They're starving out there, the brothers of Joseph. And he finally reveals himself to them. Long story, but anyway, comes down, he reveals himself to them, and they begin to repent and so on and so forth. And they all cried, you know, and hugged necks and restored their fellowship. And he says, you meant it for evil. And the King James says, but God meant it for my good. But actually, in the Hebrew there, it says, God wove it for my good. Man, that's good. I love that. What people mean for evil, God can weave for good. He's not the author of it. God doesn't send it. God does not do evil. And woe be unto those who call evil good and good evil. We're not saying that. We're not saying God did something bad in your life to bring some good end. No, no, no. God does not do good or do evil that good may come. But God does do this. He can turn it around. If you'll trust Him, if you believe Him. Amen. Not everybody, but if you trust Him and believe Him, He can do it. God works together for good. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord. Not everybody, but if you love God and you pray and you believe God, God can turn a tragedy around. We can see opportunity in the difficulty. We can be hardened to difficulty. And don't give up. You may even lose a battle, but you know what? There's a war going on. It's not over. See, that's what happens. We'll fail, or we'll miss it, or we'll sin, or we'll just, you know, flat out have a tragedy happen. And then we throw the towel and give up, like that's the statement of our whole life, that that's the whole essence of our being, this one event. Listen, failure is an event, not a person. Don't internalize a failure in your life. Don't internalize a sin in your life. Don't internalize a tragedy in your life. It just happened, okay? It happened. Get over it. I don't say that in a mean, sarcastic way. I'm saying that to help you because I love you. And I say it to myself all the time, too, because we can have a pity party and we can start grieving and pick up a spirit of grief, and we need to get up on our feet. Okay, we've mourned. It happened. Bad deal. But I can tell you this, God wasn't the one that did it. God is the one that wants to get you on your feet again and get you over this thing. You know, Jesus didn't pat a lot of people on the back. You ever notice that? I'm not trying to be hard. Stay with me. He was very compassionate. But see, he didn't just say, you poor thing. He would meet their need. And many times he'd challenge them. When it was obvious what they wanted, he'd say, what do you want me to do? He asked the blind man that. What do you want me to do? Did he not know what that man wanted? The man at the pool of Bethesda, he says, do you want to be healed? Well, come on, man. What was that? That's kind of hard and cruel. I mean, honestly, if you read through the Scripture, Jesus challenged people to step up to the plate. But even when they'd fall down sometimes in supernatural visions, he'd have them stand up. Angels would even have them stand up. Stand up, stand up. Woo, hallelujah. Man, that's good. I love that. That doesn't mean we don't weep with those that weep. Of course we weep with those that weep. Of course when someone has a loss, sometimes the best thing you do is just sit there with them and just put your arm around and cry with them. But we don't stay there. We get through that. We don't weep as others have no hope. Amen. We have hope. We get healing. We get healed. We get up. We get back up. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay. God hardens us to difficulties. Amen. Turn over to 1 Timothy, for real. 1 Timothy this time. 1 Timothy 6. Hallelujah. Boy, this is good stuff. I love this because this is life. This is what life is about. You know, a football coach had a bunch of guys getting ready to go to practice, and he had this, you know, he ran them through the ropes, told them, you know, had this little talk with them, pep talk, I guess, before they had their practices starting a new season. And he went through the whole thing. And this is, we need to listen up to this because there's so much wisdom in this. He said, guys, in football, you get out there and you're going to tackle and you're going to get hit, and you're going to get bruised, you're going to get beat up. That's football. It's got rough edges. He says, but if you'll come and you'll practice, we'll get stronger, we'll get better, and you'll heal up from those things. But football's got rough edges. Football's got bruises. It's got hits. It's got bumps. You're going to be wore out after a game. You're going to be wore out after practice and so on and so forth. But if you are okay with that and you understand that, come on, I can make a team out of you. Hello. That's kind of the way it is about Christianity. Christianity's not always an easy road. It's actually the narrow road, you know, the truth. It's not impossible. It is possible because God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He also says the commandments of God are not grievous, not burdensome in that sense. But one thing for sure you do have to throw in, because if you go into it just kind of half committed, it's rough. It's rougher half committed than it is fully committed. But if you'll fully commit and you're very passionate about it, God will mature you and you'll get hardened to difficulties and you'll get to where prayer is just a way of life with you. Believing God just a way of life with you. I've settled it. We've settled it in our house. No matter what happens, I don't care what happens. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't know every onslaught. I don't know every battle. I don't know every test the devil's going to throw at me. I don't know. I don't know all that's in store for me the rest of my life, but I know this. Whatever happens, we're going to trust God. And I've proved that over and over and over. I had some things that would just destroy me if I'd let it. Destroy us if I'd let it. But you know what? I over and over and over, I've seen God come through when we believed Him and still in His Word. Still in His Word. He's always came through. He's always faithful. He always will do what He says. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. I've been alone in that. Brent, I've stood alone sometimes in things that we're believing, you know, but God came through. We've been separated from people even from stands we've made over the years, you know, even with our kids and the way we raise our kids with relatives and so on and so forth. Look at our kids now. They're serving God.
Amen.
Hello. It's been a challenge. It's been a battle. It's been a fight. But life's a fight. Life's a battle. Been on jobs where I just couldn't get along with the guys and couldn't enter in with them because they're just too ungodly and unholy, but I wouldn't back off. I'd still make my stand. I wouldn't be mean about it, but you know I'm not going to laugh at their dirty jokes. I'm not going to enter into all that stuff. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I've seen some of those guys get saved. Hello? And I've never regretted it. You will never regret at the end of your life for living holy. You will never, ever regret it. You'll never regret making a stand for God, standing at your post, fighting a fight. You'll never regret that. You'll always look back on your life and regret the times you didn't make a stand. You always regret the times you didn't. You know, you weren't that witness that you ought to be. I've never regretted being a witness. Have you ever regretted, you know, oh man, I was just too much of a Christian that time. You kidding? Oh, lived too holy that day. Y'all, I should have given in to that temptation. I never look back and think like that. Are you kidding? I always look back and regret the times I didn't stand like I should have. Ooh. Okay. So, 1 Timothy, you found it? 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of faith. It's almost full circle here. In fact, I'm going to close with this. But this is kind of full circle. Paul started out talking about, I have fought a good fight. Isn't that good? I fought a good fight. And here he says, fight the good fight of faith. What he was talking about, he fought the good fight of faith. And the fight we fight is the fight of faith. I said, I'm going to close this. I'm actually going to go to another scripture. Is that okay? Okay, good. Thank you, Tommy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is good. I'm called to this. I am called to win. I'm called to fight and lay hold upon eternal life. This is my calling. You know, Romans 12, 21, don't turn there, says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There again, go through life overcoming. Life's a battle. Overcome. Evil comes, but you overcome it. Once there's born of God, overcomes the world. Some of these scriptures we went over Wednesday night. We're overcomers by virtue of the new birth. We're born to overcome. It's God's will. It's our destiny to overcome.
Amen.
Woo. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Oh, hallelujah. Faith is how we overcome. Faith is our weapon. Faith is how we win. Faith is the battle we're in.
Amen.
It's a battle whether to believe God or not. It's a battle whether we're going to trust God or not. It's a battle whether we're going to believe that what God says is true and smarter and how we should live as opposed to what the devil in the world says is true and smarter and how we should live. I'm not going to live the way the world lives. God's smarter than they are. And it's a battle of faith. Whether I'm going to trust that, trust God, or trust what the world thinks is right, or temptation, or whatever the case may be. But it boils down to this, and I'm going to be strong, I'm going to have to get strong in faith. I'm going to have to get strong in the Word. Amen? See, battles aren't won by physical strength. There's no special gift that people have, so special genius that people have to make it life and go over. Don't buy that lie, because the devil would love to tell you there are just special people in the world. There are people that are just going to be better than others, and people that are going to be, you know, they're going to be winners, and there's some going to be losers. Oh, no, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches that God is no respecter of persons. And what he does for one, he'll do for another. Are you with me? And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, anybody calls. So you can win. You can win. Turn over to Psalms 20, and this is being my final closing, my ultimate closing. For real. This is it. I'm not preaching now, I'm telling the truth. Psalms 20. Man, I'm just thinking of so many other verses. No, I don't have time to get to them. Okay. You know, I love what David said. Well, I can quote some. You don't have to turn to them. Psalm 20. You know, David said, it was 1 Samuel 17 where he faced Goliath. He said, The Lord doesn't save by spear or shield or sword. I love that. We often think, if I had more money, if I had this, had this, had that. No, God doesn't save that. Why are you kidding? What He says, you come to me with a spear, shield, and sword, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in faith, trusting God in Jesus' name. I mean, that's He said the name of the Lord. Now we know Jesus' name, New Covenant, who we're talking about. So that means you and I can win, and it doesn't matter what's coming against us. And it doesn't matter what we have or don't have in the natural. We may not have a spear, we may not have a shield, we may not have a sword, we may not have money, we may not have this, we may not have that, but we've got Jesus and we've got faith. And the Lord doesn't save by spear, shield, or sword. And this fight's not a fight of spear, shield, and sword. This fight's a fight of faith. Amen. And we overcome because He overcame. And we can endure hardness as a good soldier. God strengthens us and hardens us to difficulties. He is with us. We can win this deal. Hallelujah. You can win the temptations of life. You can win over them. I don't know what you're going through, but I know God has got what you need to make it. If you'll call on Him, you can make it.
Amen.
You fight the fight. Amen. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Notice what it says here, Psalms 20, 7th verse. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Whoa.
Yeah.
Y'all get that? Talking about battles. Battles come and go. Everybody's got them. We all deal with them. And some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. Y'all getting it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have the money. Well, you know, I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting God. If the money's got to come, He'll come. But I'm not trusting, I'm trusting God. Yeah, but I don't have it. Whoa, I'm not trusting any of that. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But the Lord doesn't save by spear or by shield. Hello? Oh, no. He saves by faith. If you trust Him, He will save you. He will deliver you. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Those that trusted in things, that trusted in economies and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not talking about anti-prosperity. Of course God wants to prosper. Of course God wants to bless you. But we don't trust that. We trust God. God's blessed us. Are you kidding? We believe Do I believe in biblical prosperity? We wouldn't be here if we didn't believe in prosperity. Of course God prospers. We wouldn't stand here and tell you we've given $1 million to mission in the last 10 years in this church. We couldn't say that if we didn't believe in prosperity. Building a building by paying cash out here. On television, cable here in our city in Edgewood. You know, all the things that we do. Hallelujah. Now, of course we believe in prosperity. But we don't trust in money. We don't trust in that building out there. We don't trust in those things. We trust in God. Money's never been an issue. The issue has always been whether we're going to trust God or not. Yeah, but what about all the money? No. You're getting way off here. You get your faith in God, and He'll take care of all that. See, we get sidetracked. We get to say, we can't do that. Oh, we're not in a big town. Come on. It's not about the size of the town. It's not about the size of the bank account. It's not about your gifts and your talent. It's about God and what He can do. This is a fight of faith. Don't get sidetracked. Your enemy is the devil. Not lack of money. And what he's trying to lie to you, see, and deceive you and me. Don't buy the lie. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save now, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Woo! I just love Psalms. 20 is a great psalm. Stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen.